Okay, so first of all, happy birthday, Luis. And second, just the usual locator map. So U, V, W, we're still in the U column. We haven't said a thing about V and W. We've done topology more or less. We've done combinatorics more or less. We've done low algebra more or less. That was the relationship with Lie algebra. And we're starting with high algebra today. Okay, now again, I'm emphasizing that it's more or less. There is a lot more to say about each of the previous topics. And I will also say that we will not be done with high algebra today. In fact, it will not even be clear why I call it high algebra. That will come later. Okay? Now, the plan for today is mostly on your handout. And it is to explain the following sentence. We seek a homomorphic expansion from the TG algebra KTG, usually I will drop the TG subscript from here, but from the TG algebra KTG to the TG algebra ATG. And the sentence doesn't make sense as it is, because I've never defined KTG, so you should say, huh? And then this will be the first thing to answer. And then I should explain what ATG is. Then I will explain what a TG algebra is. Well, I sort of told you what an expansion is, but not in this context. So I have to tell you what an expansion is and finally what is a homomorphic expansion. I hope to fit all of this today. And the only motivation that I will present today will be, general optimism in the pursuit of aesthetics. No real motivation. Okay, no real motivation for doing this. Next week, I will present two motivations. So one motivation will be that it is potentially useful in the context of algebraic knot theory, and I will have to explain what algebraic knot theory is for that purpose. And second, so in other words, I will have to explain how this relates to possibly answering questions like finding the genus of a knot, the knotting number of a knot, and various other questions about knots, but I will first have to define all of these notions. And then I will also tell you that since KTG is finitely presented, and in fact finitely generated and in fact finitely presented, finding a homomorphic expansion for KTG is, in some sense, a finite algebraic problem. And it is the finite algebraic problem which I will call the high algebra problem in the U column. And it's related to Drinfeld associators and all such nonsense. But all of this will come next week. In between, there is Thursday. And on Thursday, I hope Zuzi will tell us about I think she's not here today, but on Thursday she will tell us about how to solve this problem using the Concievich integral. Okay? So that's the plan. Are you okay with the plan? Any comments, questions? Okay. So let me start defining these things. So first of all, what is KTG? KTG is, well, let's start as a set. It's set of all knotted trivalent. So K stands for knotted, T for trivalent, and G for graphs. And but I have to explain a little more. So first of all, two slightly misleading pictures of what knotted trivalent graphs are on your handout. So one picture is Dylan Thurston. So Dylan Thurston is the same guy that's responsible for the story that I told last week about cosmic coincidences. So Dylan Thurston hiding inside a knotted trivalent graph and the picture, well, you look at the picture and it's clear what's an octatrivalent graph, right? And the other picture is a fence that I once saw in the Berkeley Botanical Gardens in California. And again, it sort of explains what an octatrivalent graph is, right? But to be more, so to give more examples, so I don't know, here is a knotted trivalent graph. This is a knotted circle. The graph here is a circle, okay? Here is another knotted trivalent graph. So I added the two vertices and an edge, and the graph now is a tetragraph. And here is another knotted trivalent graph, and the graph here is a tetrahedron. Okay, the skeleton of a tetrahedron. Okay? Here is a, should I risk myself? Yeah, let's risk, I'll risk myself drawing something that I may get wrong. Okay? So, how does it go? You know what? No, I'll get it wrong if I try. Sorry. I was going to draw a nice, not a trivalent graph, but I'll skip it. Okay. Now, what?
The dollar bill that you kept.
The dollar bill, yes. So I should have added this picture. I mean, there is a very nice way of apparently knotting a dollar bill, which is really, after you cut it a little bit, it's a tetragraph. Which is actually not really knotted, but it looks so knotted that it's hard to believe it isn't. But anyway, I don't want to risk myself drawing it. Maybe I'll bring the dollar bill next time. Okay? Anyway, but I have to add a few comments. Okay? So first of all, the edges, so the edges are not really lines. They are like, in the case of framed knots, they're little ribbons, okay? So they are really thin ribbons, okay? So over here, my convention is that the ribbons are as drawn on the blackboard, okay? So if I don't indicate what the ribbon looks like, or if I don't indicate how the ribbon twists, I'm assuming it's not twisting. So, you know, each line here has a thickness, because the chalk has a thickness, and the thickness is somehow real. Okay? It's a part of the structure. Two, the vertices are vertices in which three ribbons meet. Okay? So they meet, my convention is that they meet in the following way. So locally, a vertex looks like this. Okay, three ribbons meet in a sort of, I don't know, three wing, an intersection of that kind. Okay? Three, everything is oriented. Everything is oriented. So I hardly ever indicate the orientation, but without orientations, all signs become more complicated. So, I mean, basically it means that every edge has an arrow on it. Okay? So, in fact, there isn't just one kind of vertex. There are sort of eight kind of vertices, or maybe four, depending how you count. Okay, so, you know, everything could be oriented outward, or one can be oriented inward, and two can be oriented outward, and so on. Okay? And four, everything is labeled. Everything is labeled. So the reason I'm saying everything is labeled is because later I will have operations like delete an edge. And I can't tell you delete an edge before telling you which edge to delete. Okay? So the labels, so all edges must be numbered, okay? Or labeled in some way. So I mean 1, 2, 3, 4, and likewise for the vertices. So this will be vertex number 1, vertex number 2, and so on. Everything is fully labeled, yes?
Is 1 and 2 the same thing?
What?
1 and 2, is it the same edge or because of the matching distance?
No, they're not the same because there are vertices in between. If you want to go from 1 to 2,
oh, I see.
Right, I mean, in this knotted trivalent vertex, they're not the same. Okay? Because of the vertices I've added.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And again, all the labels will always be suppressed, but they're always there for mathematical consistency. And you know, if I was a set theorist, I would have to tell you that the labels have to come from fixed set in advance, maybe the integers or something, okay? But I don't care. Okay? Now, okay, so this is what it is as a set, okay? But really I can, if you wish, filter the set by the skeletons, okay? So in other words, if gamma is a trivalent graph, okay, I will define K of gamma to be the set of all knottings, the set of all knottings of gamma, always of knotting gamma. Okay? So, in other words, this picture here, for example, is a member of the set of all knottings of the tetrahedron. Let me slightly lie and write it this way. Okay?
Sir, can I ask a question?
Yes.
On the labelings, are you technically actually then modding out by relabelings? In the sense that...
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
But I will... But where it comes, I will say a word about labeling later, okay? At the end, the labelings are irrelevant. I mod out later, not at this stage. Okay? Now, to be precise, what is a trivalent graph? Okay? So, a trivalent graph has exactly the same amount of extra information as a knotted trivalent graph. So when I say a trivalent graph and I refer to it as a skeleton, okay, I mean that all the edges are thickened. So, you know, it's not an abstract graph. You can sort of walk on the left side of an edge of the graph or on the right side of an edge of a graph. All the vertices are thickened in the same way. Everything is oriented and everything is labeled. Okay? So, and the thing that's missing is the embedding in R3. Okay, so when I say a trivalent graph, I mean all the information is already included in it, except the embedding in R3. And then if I were to be precise, this is not a knotting of the tetrahedron. Well, I mean, it's as a graph with unthickened edges, it's the tetrahedron. But if you look at it more carefully, it's not really the tetrahedron. It's the tetrahedron with a twist like this. Okay, so with the edges thickened with one of the edges with a twist. Okay. So this is just a minor aside. Okay. Anyway, I should say that KTG. So, okay. So now what KTG is clear. And I guess I should say. What do you want to hear first, the good or the bad? Good or bad? Good? Okay. So, the good, well, there are lots of interesting operations on KTG. Okay, so let me just indicate a few. So first of all, if you have a knotted trivalent graph that has an edge like this connecting two vertices, there is an operation, and let's say it is labeled E. There is an operation called delete the edge E. Well, this one is not particularly interesting, but there are, but it is an operation which maps it into the knotted trivalent graph in which this edge is missing. Okay, so you know, I'm drawing it at the level of the skeletons, but the operation is defined on knotted graphs. You could have done it even if E was knotted and tangled with all the other edges. Okay? So, you know, if you want, really what I've drawn is, again, the skeleton. So this is really an operation that goes from graphs with this skeleton, and of course I mean the skeleton continues, to knotted graphs with a simpler skeleton. Okay, and it's called the delete edge operation. Okay, and to be precise, some further information must be present or must be correctly present. So the edges must be oriented the same way, the edges emanating from, or the, well, if you remove an edge E, the other two edges connected to any one of its sides have to be oriented consistently. Otherwise, you wouldn't know how to orient these edges. Okay? So, I mean, some further constraints apply. Okay? Well, you know, having said this, maybe I should have said that there is an even earlier operation. Let's call it operation zero, which is to reverse the orientation of an edge. Okay? Now, well, this is hardly interesting, so I'd rather move on into the more interesting direction. So, a second interesting operation is the operation which takes an edge E and so-called unzips it. Okay? So, it's an operation from, well, I've written it on the level of skeletons, but it's clear that you can define it on knotted graphs. So basically, if you have an edge, the edge looks like a little ribbon. So this is really, in R3, this looks like a ribbon. And then you can take scissors and cut the ribbon lengthwise, and you get And you could do that even if the ribbon was knotted. It doesn't matter how complicated it was knotted, you could still do that. So you get a well-defined operation going this way. Okay? So this operation is called unzip an edge. And as before, you can only perform it if there is a certain consistency of the orientations. So if the orientation of this edge agrees with, so if there is somehow a direction of flow. Otherwise, you wouldn't know how to orient the resulting edges. Okay? But given that you have the operation number zero, which is to flip the orientation of an edge, if you really wanted to unzip something, you could always fix the orientation so that you can unzip it. Okay? Yes?
What, so if there's a twist in the edge, don't you end up with a diagram where the strands cross? If you cut along the middle of the ribbon,
yes,
and there's a twist, don't you end up going the other crossing, or
so, but it happens on the level of the skeleton as well. Okay, so in other words, so if the skeleton is as drawn, wait, what do I want to say?
Are you saying that you could just untwist it and then apply that and then twist it back?
No. Well, I'm saying that there is a skeleton map which maps a knotted trivalent graph to the graph gamma, which is its skeleton. Okay? And the skeleton map applied to this graph, everything is as on the blackboard, and the skeleton map applied to this graph, so a little slash often indicates a twist, is a way of indicating a twist, because I suppose sort of it's a short notation for a twist. Okay, so you have somehow a slash. Okay? So these two things are also different at the level of skeleton. Okay?
So this operation does not apply if there's a twist? Is that what you're saying?
No, it applies, but its output is a knotting of the unzip of this graph, which is, the unzip of this graph is this graph. Okay? Okay, and operation number three is probably the most interesting, and operation number three is a binary operation. So if you have a knotting of a any graph, let's say it's a tetragraph, just not to be too complicated, and if you have a knotting of a any other graph, let's say it's a tetrahedron, okay, then you can get a knotting of the graph that you get by taking a theta graph and a tetrahedron and adding an edge connecting the two. So this operation is called the connect sum operation, and strictly speaking, it is dependent on more discrete amount of on further discrete amount of information. So you have to specify which edge here to connect with what edge here. Okay? So you have to pick an edge E here and pick an edge E prime here. And then the connect sum operation is really dependent on E and E prime. And furthermore, there is a little bit of extra discrete information that you have to supply when you specify the operation. So you have to specify which side of the edge to connect to. So remember that the edges are really ribbons. And you know, if you want to connect to it, you could connect either on the right or on the left. You have to specify which side of the edge to connect to on both sides. And you have to specify whether or not this edge will be twisted. And you have to specify what is the orientation of the new edge. Okay? But it's a discrete amount of information. It's the same amount of information that you need to specify in order to make the operation well-defined on skeletons. And then the claim that it becomes a well-defined operation on knotted graphs. That's actually not an obvious claim. So claim this operation is well defined. And again, the reason it is not obvious is that so for a specific knotted graph theta, the theta might be extremely complicated, okay? And you may want to connect sum it with some tetrahedron, which is also extremely complicated. Okay? And I'm telling you to connect from here, from somewhere deep inside to somewhere deep inside. And then it's not obvious that, okay, it's not obvious that that it doesn't matter which path you take to go from here to here. There isn't a canonical path. Right? I mean, you know, you may want to pull out and then go to the left and then drop back in, but clearly pull out depends on how this thing was messed up. Okay? So why is this operation well defined? It's not obviously well defined. Okay? Anyway, you can prove that it is well defined, and here is the proof that it is well defined. So what you do is you okay, so I choose one way of coming out, going from right to the left and dropping back in. I have to show that this is equivalent to any other way. Okay? So what you do is you shrink this part until it's tiny, tiny, tiny. Okay, sorry. So you choose the one way, you make the connection. You shrink this part until it's tiny, 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 tiny. And then you bring it near this edge. Okay, now that it's tiny, you can pull it along and bring it near here. And then you can pull it out using any other way. Okay? And so now it's back here. Okay? And by now you've changed you've switched from the first choice of connecting path to the second choice of connecting path on the right half. Okay, so now on the right half, you've moved to the new connecting path correctly. Okay, you've moved to the new correcting path. But on the left, you're still with the old connecting path, because all I've done is I've shrunk it and frozen it. Okay? But now you shrink the right, bring it back in here, pull it out using the new path. And you're done. So is the procedure clear? Kind of it's there's a bit of, well, there is a topological story to tell, but so again, let me try that again, but maybe with a little less mess. So I want to show that, oh, I wish I had red and green or something. So I want to show that choosing this connecting path, number one, or choosing this connecting path, number two, is the same in order to make the connect sum operation. Okay? So what I do is I first make the connection say using path number two, then I shrink this until it's tiny. So now this picture is topologically, even geometrically, the same, except that it's tiny. I pull this in along the connection path until it's back here. Then I pull it out using using path number one, and now it's tiny like this. Now I expand. So when I expand, I get a picture like this, except, you know, I've shrunk and expanded with whatever mess I may have had here. So I get maybe a messy picture, and I want to clean this side. So now I shrink this, pull it in, pull it out, and now it's cleaned. Is this clear? Okay. So it's actually non-trivial that this operation is well-defined. And finally, so you know, this is well-defined. Okay, and finally, there is operation, I don't know, call it zero prime, which is to relabel or permute the labels. And again, it's somehow too trivial to really discuss, okay? But, you know, if you have a not a trivalent graph with labeling 1, 2, you can tell me, apply the permutations that permutes 1 and 2, and I'll get a not a trivalent graph labeled this way. And it's clearly a sensible operation, okay? Good. Warning. There are also some operations that don't exist. Okay? So, like the opposite of delete an edge does not exist. You cannot insert an edge to a graph. Okay? So, if you have two graphs, you can, you know, the proof of the fact that inserting an edge in between them is well defined depended on the fact that I could embed each one in a different half space so that I could shrink one independently of the other. Okay? But generally speaking, if you have a single graph and I tell you insert a graph, insert an edge from here to here, there is no canonical answer to how. Okay, you could insert it in many different ways, and they're topologically distinct. So there is no reverse to this operation. Likewise, there is no reverse to that operation. Okay, I guess this operation, well, I suppose is reversible because you can just delete the edge you inserted. But in fact, even this is not reversible because. It's a binary operation. The delete edge operation is a unary operation. So this takes two knotted graphs and gives one. And if you delete an edge, you just get a single knotted graph with two components. So none of these operations is really reversible. Okay. Now, what will come next week is that I will tell you that these operations are also interesting. So I'll just preview it now. But the point is, there are two points. Point number one, there are interesting things that you can say about the topology of knots using these operations. Okay, so you can using just these operations, you can define certain classes of knots that are interesting. So if you find invariants that are well behaved under these operations, you can potentially say interesting things about ordinary knots. That's point number one. And again, I'll say more about it next week. And point number two is that under these operations, the set of knotted turbulent graphs is finitely generated. In fact, it's finitely presented. So if you want to find an invariant that satisfies, that somehow has a good behavior under these operations, it's enough to find to define it on the generators and make sure that it satisfies the relations. So somehow you don't have to define the invariant on all knots, it's enough to define it on finitely many knots. So it becomes a finite problem, in some sense. Okay, but all of this will come later on. For now, this is it. Okay, so now the bad news. So okay, this was the good news. Now the bad news. I wish I had a bigger blackboard, but oh well. So I don't know if it's bad news or just sobering piece of news. So, bad news. So, K of a complicated graph, say, is not really interesting. Okay? Because what I can do is I can choose a maximal tree in this graph. So I can choose this vertex and then this edge and this edge and this edge and this edge and that edge. And I believe this is a maximal tree, right? If I add any other edge, it's no longer a tree. Oh no, I could add this. No, then it's no longer a tree because I have this loop. So this is a maximal tree. I could choose a maximal tree, and then, well, I can shrink this edge until it's tiny, tiny, tiny. I can shrink an edge, which is a leaf of the tree, until it's tiny, 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 tiny. So this edge could be knotted, right? I mean, inside a specific knotted trivalent graph, this could be knotted somehow. I could pull this vertex through the knot and make it a tiny, so basically the knot will be, so after this pull, the vertex will come here, and then these two things will be together following the old path of the edge. Okay? But basically I can bring this edge until it's very near the vertex. Then I can do the same here. Then I can take this pair and shrink it to this towards this vertex. So basically, I can shrink the maximal tree until it's tiny, 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 and unknotted. Okay? So really, it's a tiny tree which has a little neighborhood that looks like a disk because all the edges are thick. And out of it, you have in several places bands coming out. Okay, so out of this point there is a band coming out, and out of out of this point there is a band coming out, and out of this point there is two bands coming out. So basically, you have a number of bands coming out of this disk, knotting around in R3 and returning. Okay? So really, the set of notings of a trivalent graph is the same as the set of notings of just the edges that are not in a maximal in a maximal tree. So in this case, it's edge number 1, 2, 3, and 4. There are four edges not on the maximal tree. So really, this is the set of ways of noting four edges. Okay, whose ends are in a certain order connected to a disk. Okay, so this equality is not quite right. This is not inequality. What I really mean is that the difference between noting a trivalent graph and just noting a number of edges is combinatorics alone. Okay? There is a little bit more information here than here, like the choice of the maximal tree. This is a bit of combinatorial choice. Okay? Also, the ordering by which the ends connect to the disk. So when I say not these, I really mean take a little disk and then not four things coming out of it. Okay? But the order by which their ends connect to the order in which the ends connect to the disk is sort of specified here and not specified here. So the bottom line is that a knotted trivalent graph is just a knotting of a number of lines. This is a so-called tangle, with a tiny bit of further combinatorial information, not further topological information, only discrete information. Okay? So let me just summarize it. A KTG is just a tangle. So again, a tangle is a knotting of, you know, if you wish, of a picture like this, plus combinatorial information. So that's the bad news. Okay, it's sort of less exciting than it might seem. Okay, good. So I told you everything about KTG, and now I have to tell you about ATG. Okay, so what's ATG? So, in short, ATG is to KTG like A of a circle is to K of a circle. Okay, or you know, even more precisely, A of a graph gamma is to the knottings of that graph as A of the circle is to K of the circle. So, okay, how did we get from K of the circle to A of the circle? We've defined finite type invariants. Well, you can define finite type invariants of knotted trivalent graphs using exact same definition. So if you have a knotted trivalent graph, you can allow for a number of double points, you can flip over and under, you can define in exactly the same way. You can you can look at the nth derivative. It will depend only on the combinatorics of the double points and not on the topology anymore. So for example, A of a tetrahedron, so this is a bit confusing, A of a tetrahedron, the tetrahedron previously could have been a chord diagram. Now, I suppose, let me use thick lines to indicate skeleton lines of the graph that I'm knotting, and then A of this will be, well, diagrams of the kind, well, they will have the same skeleton as the thing that I've knotted, so gamma, but I also have to indicate chords. The chords correspond to double points in which one edge is meeting another edge. Okay? So there will be also a number of chords. The degree, just as before, is the number of chords. And then, okay, so every nth derivative of an invariant is a linear functional on this kind of things, but it also satisfies some relations. The relations are, well, all the relations of before, namely the 4T relations, still hold. Right, the derivation of the 4T relation was completely local. So it just didn't matter if we're knotting a graph or if we're knotting a circle. The 4T relation still holds. Okay? So, in other words, if you have, except I have to sort of make clear what I mean by 4T. So what I mean is that if you have three skeleton pieces, and you have a chord connecting two of them, and then another chord going either to here, or to here, or to here, or to here, then the sum of these four possibilities with appropriate signs is equal to zero. Okay? And the four skeleton pieces need not be on the same edge of the skeleton. Okay? So first of all, there is a 4T relation. But there is also a new relation. So the new relation is proven as follows. So okay, suppose you have you know what? Let me remove zero and zero prime, and let me tell you about the vertex invariance or VI relation. So maybe I'll just derive it. Okay? So suppose you had a vertex, and let's say all the lines are incoming, and suppose you had another piece of the knotted graph which goes underneath it. Topologically, this is the same as this picture. Okay? So any invariant, finite type or not, has the same value here as it has here. But on the other hand, if it's a finite type invariant and it has n minus 1 double points elsewhere, so it also has n minus 1 double points in other parts of space, then you could get from here to here by flipping this crossing, then flipping this crossing, then flipping this crossing. And each time you flip a crossing, you get a knotted trivalent graph with exactly n double points. Okay? So you get a top derivative of your invariant. So you get a... Okay, so this induces a relation on chord diagrams in just the same way as the similar picture that we had like this picture. Induced a relation, well, induced the 4T relation. Okay? So, by exactly the same reasoning. Okay? But what is the relation? The relation is that if you have a vertex, so this is a skeleton vertex, and you have yet another skeleton piece somewhere else, then the three ways of connecting a cord starting here and ending in one of these three strands add up to zero. So the sum of these ways is equal to zero. Okay? Are you more or less with me?
It took longer than I expected. I thought I would do everything, but I ended up only defining the spaces. Is it because I'm going, well, yeah, so let's stop for now. We're out of time, but at least I've defined, I've defined this and explained how it is a TG algebra without ever telling you what a TG algebra is. I've defined this space. I haven't yet told you how it is a TG algebra, but this will come soon. And that's all. So let's stop now.